Past gets respect, future gets pursuit.
Lagging.
Hell, hell, hell to the Redskins.
Can you feel this passion? It's amazing.
Hell, hell, hell to the Redskins.
Crowds roar, horns blow, see the fire blazing.
Hell, hell, hell to the Redskins.
It's in our soul, we bleed burgundy and gold.
Hell, hell, hell to the Redskins.
We got one goal, and that's the Super Bowl.
Hailing from Hollywood, it's Come Hail Away, the Redskins Away Game Podcast. The podcast that believes that, nigga, you better bring us back some barbecue from KC.
I'm going to look back.
I'm Matt.
I'm Mika.
So I'm Chief Margallo.
Thank you, Chief. Sorry about cutting you off there. But I guess let's address the breaking news before we get to anything. Mika is going to KC.
Hell fucking
you
yeah.
Son of a bitch. You son of a bitch.
That's dope. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It just kind of all came together. I told you guys I was looking into Seattle, and this kind of just came together. So I'm like, finally, it's on my bucket list. I got to go to Arrowhead Stadium. Get to see the KC fans over there, but more importantly, the Redskins fans, the Redskins faithful that's going to travel over there.
And before we get into the X and O's and the football talk and the week ahead here, let's talk about this. How are you feeling about the – do you know KC fans over there? Do you know people? Because I've seen rally captains try to get something organized, and it seems like maybe there's not so much of a presence.
Yeah, it's just KC is just such a presence of KC fans. They're really a tight-knit bunch over there. I know some friends from over here. I told you guys earlier that they're season pass holders. For the Chiefs games, and they go to about 3 or 4 a year. They kind of timeshare it with some people in KC. And you know, they were like, great fans, just don't expect a lot of Redskin fans because no one takes over KC. They just don't. It doesn't happen. Well, it's not like a bad – yeah, I was going to say it's not a bad thing. It's just they're such good fans, just always there.
Well, I think we're blessed to have you in the house because you're loud. And you're loud, and that place is loud, and we might actually be able to equal them out with you actually. I'm just throwing that out there. I think it's a possibility. I'm not sure. But knowing you, when you get excited, you know, and go, let's go Redskins, I think we might be able to do it. I think we could compete.
They'll be singing the Tomahawk Chop, but maybe we'll be singing Hail to the Redskins even louder.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'll be there right behind the Redskins bench to serenade them. The whole game.
Oh, perfect, perfect.
How many rows up did you say you were already?
4 rows, 50-yard line.
That's amazing.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's great. The only bummer is I don't have the 360 camera, which would be great for our pod to put that up. But
you should, if you had it, you should throw it in the middle of the field or in the middle of the bench and just let it sit there, or like maybe talk to them, be like, but hey, man, just set this down over here. Just let it sit there. Come back. I'll come back for it later. You know, see if you can get it right from the bench 360 the whole game. But I know you're not going to have it yet.
Just like stick it to the helmet.
you know. I just sadly found out my work wants to send me a training, and they want to send me to Minnesota. And guess when they want to send me? The weekend we're playing, but they're playing in D.C. The second they sent it to me, I was like, wait, November, hold on a second. Let me check the schedule. I think, damn it. They're fucking in D.C. that weekend, so I will not be able to. I was about to pull a Mika on the whole thing. I was ready to go.
Well, that's a nice stadium, I hear. It's brand new, so that would have been pretty cool.
Are they in the brand new stadium, or are they still playing in that college stadium?
You know what? You might be right. I think they might still be playing. I think it's 2020, right, when they're going to.
I thought it was next year.
I believe next they're in the new stadium. Isn't the Super Bowl in their stadium this year?
See, that's what I thought. That's
all right, good point. What do I know? I don't know anything. Why would you trust me for any kind of information on this podcast?
I usually would check this stuff, but I'm on the road right now.
No worries. Let me ask the important question I've been hearing around all week. I've heard it on Redskins Talk. I've heard it on... I think Grant Danny talked about it. I've heard it on a bunch of different podcasts, so why not be unoriginal and cover it as well? So you're going to KC, Mika, and this will go out to you next, Margallo. Is it brisket, pulled pork or ribs, rank them in your order.
Ooh.
This is the hard-hitting questions that I address on this thing.
You know, I'm a huge fan of pulled pork, but when brisket's done right, and I imagine it has to be done right at a KC tailgate, that's probably the way to go.
Okay. Okay. Margallo? Well, so you're saying ribs is last? Hold on 1 second. You're going brisket, pulled pork, then ribs as your hierarchy?
And here's the only reason for me, and this is just, I'm a little bit of a picky about messiness, and the ribs get a little bit good, but the messy factor brings them down a notch for me.
Oh, baby. That's exactly what I love about ribs. Get messy. That's barbecue to me. I love it. Ribs number one, for sure. Pulled pork number two if it's on a sandwich. And then if not on a sandwich, then brisket, then pulled pork. Done.
And just to, share my thoughts on the subject, if you don't know, I'm half Puerto Rican. But I like to think I'm half Puerto Rican. Because nothing more than a Puerto Rican loves is some pork. I do a pernil. My brother knows about this, friend of the pod. We do a pernil, which is this slow pork shoulder that we cook over 2 days.
Oh,
we'll get to that. Maybe I'll do it for the Chargers game. Not making any promises. I did waffles last time. This is a huge commitment if I was going to do this. But so I got to go pulled pork all the way. Now, the exception to that rule is, what if it's pork ribs, not beef ribs?
Oh, I went straight to pork ribs. That's where my heart is at. So I'm right there. I guess I'm half Puerto Rican now.
Exactly. So I could be persuaded to go ribs if it's, pork ribs. If not, then I'm gonna go brisket, and then I will actually ribs would be last if they're beef. If they're pork, they're second. If they're beef, they're last.
Yeah. My mouth is watering just hearing this right now.
I just want to add,
driving, going, where do I pull over for barbecue? Where do I pull over for barbecue?
Not here in LA.
I know some good spots. We'll talk later.
There's ham bones. Yeah, I don't know if you're driving by there, but that's good stuff too. But I was going to say, you guys don't have to worry about this. So that, back to the beard factor. That's where the beard factor comes in.
That's true.
Now and the inside track for all those listeners out there, we had a big problem over the summer because Mika got rid of his beard and nobody liked that. Now is it worth shaving off for barbecue? I'm gonna go with no. I'm gonna say no. No. Keep the beard. Keep the beard. All right.
It sounds like it's gonna be a fun trip, Doug. You have a lot of fun. We'll be cheering hard back home though.
I'll try my best to Facebook Live a little bit there while I'm at the tailgate, see if we can get some Redskin fans on and get some cheers there on Facebook for all our faithful there.
Yeah, absolutely. If you are listening right now and somehow you are not on our Facebook feed, be on our Facebook feed because Mika's going to – hopefully, you know what, Mika? If you could do this, I don't know if I'm asking too much, man, but whether you're at a great rib joint, whether you're at – I know Rally Captain put something together for a rally party – try to get as much of this thing on tape as you can and really soak in, let people experience what it feels like.
Yeah, for sure. Especially, I'm probably going to go through Tailgate Alley there and over in Lot D, apparently. That's what I'm hearing. That's where NFL Network's going to be. So I'll have to go check that out and try and get some of my own footage there to show everybody what the tailgate's like over there.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. So we'll be all tuning in. Throw him your questions, throw him your thoughts, throw him your opinions. Hopefully he'll be, maybe you can do a duet with Rally Captain and you can hold it down from Facebook Live from the tailgate.
For sure.
That'd be awesome. So let's, guys, I don't think we have talked about the week before. I mean, it's everybody's going to have to forgive us for this podcast coming out so late. I am 38, about to be 39. My refractory period is not that quick, okay? And after Sunday, I just like to soak in it a little bit. I just want to relax, enjoy. Don't even think about the next week. Just maybe smoke a cigarette
and cuddle. When you blow such a load of that magnitude, it's understandable.
It was one of the best of my life. I wouldn't be lying. So that being said, Mika, what did you, how the hell did this happen? Not just winning. I get that we won. How did we just dominate the ever fuck out of the Raiders like that?
Well, I thought a blowout was possible. I didn't want to really speak any bad juju in there, but I tried not to talk about the blowout. And actually, at one point, I mentioned it like right at the beginning of the game to one of our buddies over there, Joxers, Andrew Falk, and he's like, "No, shush," you know. But I just feel like I felt like watching tape. And a couple of guys actually said it this week. I was pretty impressed. Sean O'Hara on NFL Network, as well as I believe it was Stink himself and Mark Schlereth, for those of you out there not sure who Stink is, former offensive lineman, Denver Broncos, Washington Redskins. They were both saying that you look at sometimes the film just plays out. It is what it is. And, you know, we try to deny it and say, well, we think the Raiders are a better team. Let's put it this way. They played the Jets and they played the Titans. And the Titans are getting better. But on a week one game, that's a tough ask to come in and beat a team that's as well oiled as the Raiders are up to this point and young and just ready to go. There's a couple of factors in there. The Raiders did come out flat. So we could say all we want about how well we came out and played and what the tape would show. But they came out a little flat. There's probably a little bit of that traveling from West Coast to East Coast thing. I think that probably is a little bit less of a factor because it was a primetime game. But I think the other thing was they just – Manesky said it. You know, and the team said it. They weren't ready for the kind of physicality and intensity that we were going to bring. I almost think that our fans weren't ready for that. But, you know, I'd been hearing little things all week from people talking about practice. And I just felt really good going into this game. I felt like the Raiders were going to take us lightly. And it was a primetime game. And we were going to try to come out there and punch them in the mouth. And I'm sure as hell did that.
Well, I think you're referring to our defensive coordinator by the wrong name. It's Manupski. That's the word I'm hearing around. Is you got to refer to next man upski. Who's up? Who's ready to go? Let's go.
Can I say the MVPs of this game, though, like really for everybody, like even all the spectators for every team, was just any time they showed Manesky or Tom Sula on the sideline was just a win.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys.
Didn't matter how good we were doing. He looked angry.
Tom Sula's ready to kick someone's butt.
Yeah,
Tom Sula became like a gift machine with his Ethem gift and the bludgeon gift.
Yeah.
Redskins Nation was all over that stuff.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man.
Let me ask you this, Chief. What stood out to you the most from this game? What's your highlight? What's your standout? What's the moment that really made it for you?
You know what? I think watching that defense just be so dominant and, you know, it was literally the exact opposite of how that defense was last year, right? If we went into this game with the defense we had last year, I would have been terrified and been like, you know what, Kirk's going to just have to put up a ton of points. And, you know, with the way the offense was, you'd be like, it might be a little tough. But because the defense, especially after seeing what they did with the Rams the week before, you knew the defense was better and improved. But I'll tell you, Mika's right. Like, I don't think a lot of us were expecting, even the fans who are truly, like, behind them, I wasn't expecting them to come out and just hold those guys down for basically four quarters of the game. That defense, especially starting off with a couple sacks and the picks right at the top, it was fantastic. I get even more hype with the defense than I do some of these offensive plays. So, I don't know. It's the defense for me.
Well, you guys would be so proud of me. You weren't there for it because Lonnie and I watched it at my house. I had to work early, so I couldn't really be out late. But I totally no-stir Lonnie'd. I no-stirred Lonnie'd like a son of a bitch. Yeah, it was awesome. And I'm going to tell you the little quick story here, because we were, you know, the game had just started. Raiders had the ball. And, you know, dumbass, I know you guys were at the bar, so you can't really hear the audio as well. But I don't know if it was Collinsworth or who said, like, Carr hasn't thrown a pick in blah, blah, blah number of games. And I was like, well, he's definitely throwing a pick right now, because you don't go that long without throwing a pick. And boom, pick happened. And I lost it. I freaked out. I started screaming, "No, Sirlani," and running around my house. It was amazing. And so, I mean, that's the thing. And I would say this, the D is for real. Whether it was even back to the Eagles game, you know, getting sacks, Carson Wentz barely avoided. How many sacks did he avoid? Two, three? You know, he avoided a couple of picks.
I think you're right. Even though that score doesn't truly reflect it, I feel like our defense through all three of those games have been solid.
Right. He's got lucky.
It doesn't feel like a fluke, inch. You know?
He got lucky. Carson Wentz got lucky by an inch. A couple of inches difference, and he would have been down multiple times, and that whole game would have changed.
Yeah, and not only that, though, the other thing that gets missed, because, you know, everyone looks and you see the final score, and it looks like it was worse than it was. And, you know, you see that big play where Carson Wentz avoided the, you know, the sack that was like a first drive, right, on third down. I mean, it's the third play from scrimmage. My God, it still frustrates me. But you know, the thing that was different immediately from week one to week two, and then you saw it again in week three, was push up the middle. How many times did I say that last year, in the offseason? You know, it's fine when you get the outside guys getting around, getting to the quarterback, but if the quarterback can move up in the pocket, none of that shit matters. And when they really turn around and said, "God damn it, get up the middle," and it's like it's been fixed.
Oh yeah, Alvin, and Matt Ioannidis up the middle. I mean, even though I know it's Matt Ioannidis' second year, to me he's essentially new because, you know, now he's a full time starter. So just those two, the presence they're bringing up the middle and putting pressure, and then allowing the edge rushers to get around, giving, you know, more. Not giving the quarterback any time or making him make bad throws, and then just the wood that the, you know, Zach Brown's laning, Swearinger's laying on people. Yeah, you go ahead and you check down. That guy's gonna either not catch it or suffer the price when he does. Yeah. One or the other.
So what you see a lot in the NFL is, and we haven't talked about this, one thing I really want to bring up. Pressure up the middle is way more important than pressure on the edges, and the reason why is because no quarterback that goes from Tom Brady, Joe Montana, the, you know, Blake Bortles, and, you know, whoever else is, you know, putzing around the league right now. Nobody likes pressure coming in their face. Anyone that has to deal with it, their percentage goes significantly down and their accuracy goes significantly down. And
Tom Brady plays terrible when he's got pressure.
Yeah, well, especially up the middle. Again, that's the key, is up the middle. Yeah. And you get pressure to him, you get around the edge, okay, fine, whatever, you win that one, right? But pressure up the middle, it's frustrating to deal with, especially if you got a guy that's not particularly mobile, because the guys that are mobile can at least get around that if you're not also stealing the edges. Now what we've got is we've got people converging to the middle, and this is the key, we're doing it with four rushers.
Oh, baby. I love it.
You see it around the NFL, you try to manufacture that pressure up the middle with blitzing in the A-gap, but that leaves you wide open. Now we're blitzing like one guy and maybe putting another guy back, but we're still going with four pass rushers, and it allows your linebackers to play sound in pass protection. And Zach Brown's just flying all over the place, killing people.
Mika, did it seem like, I can't even tell you how many times it felt like that pocket collapsed on Derek Carr multiple times throughout the entire game. And it wasn't just like one person getting to him. It was like the pocket just breaking down on him. It was like something I feel like we'd never seen from this defense.
Yeah, it's like the Redskins get out of practice now and like they call each other before the game, and the defensive line and the front seven, they all just go, "All right, so we're meeting at the quarterback? Got it."
Well, that's what I loved. I want to say it was three. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Feel free to write in and tell me I'm wrong. Maybe it was just twice. But I want to say there was three different times that I was like, who got the sack? I don't know. Everybody? Everybody? Can we just go line? Defensive line, one sack. Do they give out quarter, eighth sacks? I don't know how to divide it up properly. Because there was a couple of those. It's just the whole thing, the whole world, like a black hole in the center of the universe, just imploded in on Carr. And he didn't have where to go. He had nowhere to go.
I think there was a stat someone posted that. I want to maybe it's not Matthew Berry. He does fantasy stuff. I'm trying to remember who it was. Might have been Mark Bowen. Someone posted the stat that Matt Ioannidis, I think, has like he's credited for one sack this year. It might be two. But he's got the most pressures and hurries for a defensive tackle in the league right now. That's so,
fantastic. I'm loving it.
Let's drop the mic stuff there. And then you got the Jonathan Allen rookie coming on. Like, he's just coming on right now, starting to get going. And you could see some of these moves. Have you seen the spin move? That's disgusting.
It's
fun to see him figuring it out. And, like, every week he's, like, getting more and more comfortable.
But you see, like, and here's another thing. I think even more so now with what we're seeing this year, the evidence is there that last year the problem for Preston Smith was, okay, we don't have to worry about your inside guys so much, so we'll focus on Preston Smith. Now it's like, what are they going to do? Because the pocket's collapsing inwards, and Preston Smith can do the power move, and, well, what are you going to do? Because everyone's just converging at this point. So Preston Smith is having a boon because offensive lines – keep in mind, people – the Raiders' offensive line was considered by most the second best in the NFL, but only the Cowboys.
If not, some have even said the best.
The best.
I've heard that.
And they did it by moving people, just like, get it out of my way. So you could be forgiven for thinking that there was no way we were going to have this kind of domination on the defensive line. But they just pushed people anywhere on skates the whole game, the entire game. I mean, even Gallette came in later and was doing it. And Ryan Anderson came in later, was doing it. I mean, it was a thing to behold. It's like it's almost like they got bewildered and beside themselves. They were just like, who are these guys?
Well, and not to scare you and not put on another podcast for another 10 days or so, because, again, we've already addressed my refractory issues. But do you know we have the youngest defensive group in the NFL, period?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So right there, these boys could be playing together for a while.
I would love to see that.
Right.
They showed what is it? I think seven guys that are like within their first 2 years or something like that that are like key players on the defense. I think we'd have to do that. We've got Kendall Fuller. We got Monte Nicholson and someone from the Chiefs and Raiders squad.
Fabian Moreau.
Right. Fabian Moreau. We said Kendall Fuller. Ioannidis, Jonathan Allen. Preston Smith is in his third year. Spate had huge contributions in this last game. How about that, by the way? Spate was flying all over the place.
Well, that's what I love, again. Is, you know, man up scheme. Who's up next? Spate? All right, cool. No problem. No follow up.
They went with Spate over Will Compton. What did you think? What did you guys think about that?
Well, yeah, Mika, why is that?
Well, Compton came in at times, but and someone pointed out this another thing we're learning again this week is apparently Zach Brown called all the plays on defense last week. So,
well, I knew that, but is Compton just not able to play? Is it the Mike linebacker? He's just not able to play that position?
No, I mean, that's his spot. It's just, let's be real.
Is it the Will or the Mike that calls the plays, though?
It's the Mike. Yeah, it's the Mike.
Okay, I'm sorry. Is he not able to play the Will?
Not nearly as good, because your Will, and especially in our defense, is meant to be more of a thumper. That's why. The only bummer is not having Mason Foster because he really fills that role. So you want to have him next to Zach Brown to have that bumper role. But Spate, what they did is they went with more force up the middle in this game to allow Spate to roam free, and it worked.
Gotcha. Okay, well, I was thinking about that as well. You weren't alone, Margal. I was like, why is Will Compton not in there with Zach Brown Band?
Yeah, I feel like that's a thing where, generally speaking, look, you can be like me and you can really like Will Compton, the football player. But if you put him in a lineup next to all of our linebackers and had to pick, you know, the best athletes out of there, he'd probably be last or second to last.
Right.
He's just not very athletic.
Yeah.
A philosophy to really just to put out your best players out there, the ones who can make up the best 11 players for that side of the ball. And, you know, if that's the case, then that's how Will Compton doesn't fit in that group.
Well, absolutely. Well, and again, give the coaches credit. You know, people can question it all they want, you know, week in, week out, which we happen to do in Redskins Nation. But the reality is, I think we're seeing now Jay Gruden really put his thumbprint all over this thing. This is Jay Gruden's team now, and it's really, really starting to show out. And yeah, he's getting a ton of help from coordinators, but this whole coaching up thing, I mean, these guys have been here since Jay's been here, most of these guys. And you see that he makes no bones about accountability. And when we see these guys playing practice, the best guys playing, no matter what, you know? So, you know, again, people can go, well, what about Will Compton? Or people can go, well, what about, I mean, people didn't even think about, I don't know how much time people had to think about the fact that they put Monte in. He was starting at three, Swearinger went into strong. And I imagine if the first drive went anything other than what it did, people would have been like, what's going on? Why is Monte at three? Why is Swearinger at strong? What's going on? You know what I mean? But
well, hold on. You know, I'll tell you this, and you know, two beautiful things. First, I'll make a comment, then I'll address what you're talking about. One, I don't know if you listened to the press conference with Manupski, where they actually said, he was like, you know what I love about this defense? I call plays. They don't even follow my plays, but they're all on the same page. Everybody knows their assignment. Zach Brown's communicating with DJ Swearinger. Swearinger's communicating with Zach Brown. They're on the same page. Sometimes I call a play, and then the play goes down, and I'm like, that's not what I called. And he's just like, but they're all buying in together as a group. And one of the things, I was listening to the Cooley Film Breakdown. Shout out to the Cooley Film Breakdown. Waiting for the Mika Haney Film Breakdown so I can get more insight into the game. But one of the things they were saying is right before that pass, the interception that Holsey caught, is that you could see Swearinger, him talking back and forth. He's like, you know, Swearinger's out there coaching him up, going, okay, here's what I need you to do. Come over to me. And they were switching back and forth between who was the free, who was the strong. And they switched twice. And then the play went down. And then he literally, like, Holsey, like, looked off intentionally, like, oh, no, I'm not going for that dude, I promise. And then, like, second the moment the ball was released, went for it. It was amazing.
Yep.
Go ahead. So back to what you were saying.
Well, yeah. So, and then, okay. So take that. And then again, applauds all around for Swearinger. How about that acquisition? He's come in, he's been an absolute leader for our team. Watching him get everyone into position is, I love guys like that in general, but knowing that we got Phil Drenos out there that have the buy-in of the whole team, you know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. and not just that, but to put a stamp on it, that hit on beast mode.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That's baby, the way I love DJ Swearinger.
Oh man.
I know you're driving, so you don't have the drops on you. So I have to, you know, we got to manufacture them ourselves.
And then, yeah. I wanted to say also, you know, the Chiefs and Redskins, Chiefs and Raiders, editor for their blogs, individually, he was on Twitter saying, you know what, looking at the film, Monte Nicholson's the real deal. Redskins got a steal with that one. He's going to be a player for a long time. So, you know, knock on wood on that one. It's a little early, but that's a great.
I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to credit anybody specific here. I'm just going to credit the Redskins in general. one of the biggest differences since, you know, basically the second part of the Shanahan era, once we got rid of Rex Grossman, we're not going to really say his name, and we moved on to at least starting in the RG3 era, you know, is how we're drafting. We've been consistently drafting well all the way back to Shanahan, all the way straight through, oh my God, now I feel Scott McLuhan. Jesus, I forgot his name for a second there. Scott McLuhan, and even to this year. Say what you will, the organization, sorry, I've been having a couple of drinks here. Organization in general has been drafting well now. How long ago was that? 2011? 2012?
I would say probably 2013.
Okay.
I'd say that.
When did we get Trent and when did we get Ryan Kerrigan?
Well, I mean, those.
That's the moment. That's the moment we started drafting well.
Better. I think we got Kerrigan, but then we got. Didn't we also get what's his face? Devin Thomas and Fred Davis.
If you're gonna point out everything, I'm saying that was the beginning. I'm saying that was the beginning of what I consider this new Redskins era. And what we're finally seeing is the culmination of all that, of finally coming together of, you know, those old draft picks who now have been in the league 5-6 years, and then these new picks coming in that are now really starting to produce right off the bat. Because Kerrigan produced his first year. Jordan Reed produced his first year. Trent Williams produced his first year. And we had a spattering here and there. But now we're picking up on guys like back to, and shout out to Fabian Moreau. Fabian Moreau, come on the podcast. We love you. But, you know, these guys who are coming in who are just right off the bat being productive, if not the first year, it's the second year, you know, taking chances on guys that would have been first round draft picks. We pick them up in the third round because they're injured. And then they're automatically, once they're well, looking good. Thoughts?
No, I mean, you said it all there pretty much. The drafting's been exponentially better, just exponentially better all the way from the top down. And, it, you know, it's nice to get players in the first, second, third rounds, but the meat and potatoes are, you know, the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounds. That's where you really, and really the undrafted free agents, which we've got, you know, a good handful of that are producing for us. Ryan Grant, I think, you know, he's out there now and call him old reliable. When he gets out and makes a play, he makes a play. It's you can't really say, by the way, totally off of what you just asked me, I can't help but say this. Terrell Pryor, again, he was set up as a decoy for this game, but the blocking, the whole, did you watch the tape on this game? Every time there's a big run at his side, he's just out there 10 yards, 5 yards, 15 yards, and he's not just giving up on the play. I mean, you're seeing the guy, you know, Chris Thompson starts to run by him, and his man's free, and he's going back and engaging. Terrell Pryor was magnificent out there blocking. All of our offensive line was. And this is why, well, okay, we'll get to the Chiefs talk later. But back to your point, the drafting has been top-notch. Sure, there's been other good drafts out there by other teams. This looks a lot to me like, and again, let's knock on wood, like that Seattle team where it was young, and a lot of people, when it finally put it together, were like, I'm not sure. Should we be okay with this Seahawks team? Like, they seem to only win at home. You know, remember, I think they won every game at home and they lost like every game but two on the road that year.
Right.
And barely made the playoffs. And then they beat us when RG3, you know, yada, 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 yada. But it just reminds me of that team. There's been a lot of things in general that have reminded me of that team. Scott McLuhan's involvement, the way we pick up players, the fight in the team, and just the way it's kind of being disrespected week to week. A lot of people went, I mean, the buzz is super high, and even a lot of experts are starting to turn their heads and go, you know what, I got to watch this film now. And since I've had to watch it, I'm going, Jesus, that Redskins defense is no joke. And then they're still going, yeah, Chiefs. You know, well, Chiefs are going to win this game.
Let's address two things. And since Matty is in the car and he can't do any of his drops, we'll do the Redskins overhyped moment. Wait, defense wins
do
Super
I have
Bowls.
That drop?
You don't, but I'm making drops of my own up in my head as we go. So that being said, here, and we're going to take one moment to entertain this, and then we're going to move on very, very quickly. Defenses win Super Bowls. Look at, and God bless him, I love Peyton Manning, better than his brother. Few times in life is ever the older brother the good brother. I'll testify, I know this from personal experience, the younger brother is always the better brother. But in this particular case, Peyton Manning was way better than his younger brother. That was a veiled insult to my brother. Okay, moving on. That being said, his arm was gone by the time he made that last Super Bowl. But you know what? The defense made up for it. Same thing. You're talking about Seattle. Defense. You're talking about the 49ers year. They didn't win the Super Bowl because of the rigged lights out thing. But, you know, defense. Again, it's defenses that make Super Bowl teams. And it's not like we're coming in with a scrub. We're not coming in with a necessarily bad offense. We're coming in with an offense that needs to figure it out. But it's not a bad offense. So if we have
a good defense, you can get away with that. Trent Dilfer went to the Super Bowl and won.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying. So if we can,
people are in love with him, but I keep saying Russell Wilson's been to two Super Bowls, people. You know, defense. I mean, it's defense. He's a nice guy. He's a nice quarterback. But if you had to take him off of Seattle and throw him onto the Jets, are the Jets winning 500 right now?
No.
Probably not. No, the Jets are a bad team. So, okay. And that's pretty unfair to put him on like one of the worst teams. But you know, to what you're saying, we've been pounding, you know, the table and saying, you know, we think Kirk's good enough. It's just, is the team good enough with where we're going to have his cap number at? And, well, I think we're answering that question. But I also think the team was asking that of Kirk with the whole offseason, the way it went. I think they were kind of like, look, we're going to franchise you. And if you're really the guy, if you're a franchise QB, if you're going to get paid like an Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford now, so on and so forth, we can say, look, the offense is going to figure itself out. Kirk Cousins is going to get hot. You know, we got everything else in place. The offensive line is still solid. We're going to try to run the ball more to help him out if necessary. But all those things are dependent on how well Kirk operates the offense. We're going to trust him to do that and work really hard on the defense this offseason. And that's what they did. And you're seeing that the offense is getting together. I mean, Kirk, to say he was on fire makes fire seem cold at this point. It's just, he had 5 incompletions, but he made some throws. He's throwing off his back foot. I can't throw off my back foot. Watch this.
Right. Here's what I'd say. I'll be honest. If, let's just play hypothetical universe right now, Deshaun and Gerson are still there with us, I think this offense would be off the chain right now. Unfortunately, look, I like Pryor, and I think Pryor's going to be great. I think Doxson's going to be great. I think we're going to be fine. I'm not freaking out and worrying about the offense right now. But I do think some of the problems right now is the wide receivers. And that could be on Kirk totally, because it could be about him not knowing his receivers, not knowing where they're going to be, trusting them, feeling, you know, he even said, like, when he threw that pass to Doxson and scored a touchdown, he's like, I don't like to throw that pass. I don't like to throw a 50-50 ball up and pray my boy comes down with it. Because that's just not, you know, he's used to, you know, Jackson being 20 feet ahead of everybody and then catching the ball. He's not used to throwing it right to where the corner and the receiver are at the same time and going, okay, I don't have to worry about it. My boy's got ups. He's going to get this. Used to having somebody way ahead of them. And so it's a transition for him. It's a transition for the receivers. And if there's a failing on offense, it's not about Kirk's not great. It's about they haven't clicked yet, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And again, to exactly what you're saying, again, if I don't know how many people recall this, but, you know, you say that he was used to Deshaun Jackson or Pierre Garçon and the way they operated on the deep ball, which is 100% true. But before he was used to them, he even stated as much and said, you know what, I just got to know when I can trust my receivers. And when, you know, when they're going to beat their man, and I got to anticipate that and throw ahead. So he had to learn that too. And he talked about that at that time. So But now it's just another thing that he's learning. And you know what? Every time Kirk's looked at something and said aloud, I need to get better at that, guess what? He's done it. So
right. I have no doubt when we're on game seven, it will be there by game seven of this season. It's just not there today. In the meantime, that's okay. Once it's there, we're talking 91 Redskins. We're talking best team in the history of the NFL. The defense plays like the defense plays, and we have the offensive production of the last 2 years with more touchdowns. Ooh. Ooh.
So,
I love it.
So, you know, the 91 Redskins were, you know, they're still known as the number one point differential team, you know, throughout NFL history, right? So number one point differential from every game that they play. Funny little tie-in here. Right now, through 3 weeks, it's still a young season. So let's not get – let's tap the brakes a little bit, but right, just want to throw this out there. right now, through 3 weeks, we have the number one yardage gain differential. So for whatever that's worth, you know, we've held teams to a certain amount. Even the Eagles lost. And we're gaining, you know, a certain amount, and it's better than anyone else in the league. Those are numbers you can't just kind of like let, you know, roll off your back. Those are true NFL football team numbers.
Well, and let me address something out there. And first of all, let's take a moment for a little PSA, you know, because there are a lot of things going on bad in this world right now: earthquakes, hurricanes, just tragedies, just horrible stuff going off all over the place. Something happened this weekend to me that hit home. When it hits you home, a friend of mine went missing. His name's Henry. His last name is Figueroa. Find him on Facebook. Up until the point, I did ask him to come on the podcast, and he was all playing too. Something came up, and he couldn't come on. We were going to do it before the game during the day. But then after the game, after the Raiders game, we wanted a Raiders fan to come on the podcast. After the game, I don't know what happened. He's missing. I put his face on milk cartons, but I've communicated several times about the results of the game. And I don't know, man. I'm worried. I'm a little concerned because he was talking a lot. I mean, like the lot of text messages.
Was he talking a lot of trash beforehand?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. He was saying all about how the Raiders were going to destroy us. But then after the interception and a lot of things, I don't know, maybe he was kidnapped. I don't know, maybe El Salvadorian stole him away and he's being held for ransom. They haven't called me. Because I would pay. I would pay just to be able to talk to him. Just to be able to talk to him once about how the game went down.
Just and left him a Facebook message.
Right. I've left him Facebook. Here's what's weird. I put Facebook messages of the score of the game, of the stats, different things on his Facebook, and then they go disappearing. Moments later, after I post them, they disappear. I'm thinking Russian bots.
I was going to say, it's got to be Russians, man.
It's got to be Russians. Maybe the Russians have my Raiders friend boy, because I have not heard from him in the last week. I mean, it was every 5 seconds I was hearing from him for the whole day long before the game. But then after that, his phone went silent. Now, I don't even know if he knows what happened in the game, because I just assume he's dead now. But I've heard that from other friends of mine, other Redskins fans who have Raiders friends. We're starting a charity. It's going to be called Raided Gone Away. I don't know. We're working on the title still. But, yeah, they're missing. A lot of Raiders fans are missing. I don't know if it's a Raiders rapture. And they're all just up in heaven now. But their strands have gone missing, and I don't know where any of them are anymore. They were all very communicative before the game.
I think they all collectively took that hot air, and they made a balloon, and they went to Mars with it, because I don't know where any of them are at this point.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they pulled a Tom Brady, and they were deflated.
Yeah, deflated. I don't want to interrupt here, but I'm gonna run. You guys are still recording, so enjoy. Please give my best to the rest of the podcast.
All right.
And then,
well,
give me a text when you're wrapped up.
All right, I'll send you a text. We still miss Farts. Shout out to Farts. That's a code.
Can we get a,
nobody needs to know what that means.
can we get a quick prediction, that Chief Margolo?
Yeah.
For next week?
Yeah.
Yeah, Monday.
49-0, Redskins blowout.
There you
damn.
Go.
I think I've said that same prediction every week. Yeah.
Keep it up, well, brother. Keep it up.
Keep it up. At some point, statistically, you'll be right.
It's going to happen. All right, boys. Thank you very much. Take it easy.
Have a good
Take one. Take it easy, Mark. Talk to you later, man. Well, Mika, we're going into a little special time that I don't think anybody's ever had, which is the true podcast, the M and the H. Mika Haney and Matt Haverly, one-on-one, and that's it.
MH squared.
Nobody. Yeah, MH squared. We got the MH squared going on. We don't have the same middle initial, and that's that. But we're moving on. Before we move on to the game coming up here, let's just go ahead, and I just want to state this, and you tell me your thoughts. I am so sick of people being like, well, apparently the Raiders aren't that good. Couldn't be that Washington's that good on defense. It's the Raiders suck. Thoughts?
Yeah, it's like I was saying a little bit ago, I feel like there's starting to be some pundits coming around. And I've said this all through the offseason. It's not really a disdain or dislike, which is something I had to get past, because as a fan, you just kind of get disgusted and you see conspiracy everywhere. But it just is what it is. They're hyper focused on the teams that are driving ratings. And, you know, when you go into a new season, it's the teams that were good last year, right? What have you done for me lately? So, you get why, the term disrespect gets thrown out there a lot. I think more so with the pundits this early in the seasons, it's just like, I don't got time for you right now. I gotta look, at all the Cowboys tape from last year. I gotta look at all the Raiders tape from last year, and so on and so forth. And now, so when they get to the week to week, they're going, well, the Redskins are 2-1. They're facing off against the Chiefs, who are 3-0. It's Monday Night Football, so we gotta do some tape. And a bunch of these guys that are coming back off the tape are going, these Redskins, watch out. So,
is that what you're hearing? Are you hearing people say, people watch out, Redskins? That's not what I'm hearing.
Only the ones who I know, based on what they're saying, are actually watching the tape. I think there's a lot of guys who are still going off of reactions and preconceived notions. And they watch the game, to them, it's like, that's just a fluke. But they didn't go back and watch Redskins-Eagles tape. Like, they were even talking about on Good Morning Football, right? Schrager was kind of sticking up for us and saying exactly what Casserly was saying, which is the Redskins from week one to week three are a totally different team. And they were trying to play, oh, yeah, of course, they're a different team, blah, 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 right? And they still lost to the Eagles. There's no way they could be better than the Eagles at this point because they lost. And the whole time I'm, like, wanting to scream at the TV because I'm like, well, they are a different team. Kirk Cousins isn't making the same mistakes. The offensive line is playing significantly better. The defensive line is figuring itself out. The other guys that are young on the secondary, the linebackers are getting more solidified into their positions. And you could say the same for the Eagles. They're getting better week to week. But
fuck the Eagles.
Fuck the Eagles. And I said the Eagles enough in the show. Let's try not to say it again.
Right.
But the thing with the Redskins,
more Redskins, that team in Philadelphia. That's how we refer to them as.
The Redskins are. It's just everything is there, and I think I made the mention again on Facebook this week where I was like, it's not as much as I do this, and I say my synopsis based on what I'm seeing. And you guys hear me, I'll be right on points, in the past. And you'll go, yeah, you were right. That's what we should have done. But we weren't doing it for whatever reason. And
right.
And so this is the first time where I was like, this is what I said we should do. This is what I saw on tape. This is what I said would probably happen. And literally, like, the whole thing was exactly like I thought it went down, what was supposed to go down. And I was like, at the end of the game, I was just like, wow, I can't believe not only was I this right, but that they went out there and they did everything exactly as what I thought I saw on tape. You know what I mean? So, which tells me that
I feel you. But I would say this, man. It's nobody gave us a chance in hell. Nobody gave us a chance in hell of winning that game. And I'm just, and again, it went from the Raiders are a Super Bowl contender, the Raiders are the best, blah, 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 to now this week, people being like, well, apparently the Raiders aren't as good as we thought they were. They lost to the Redskins. And maybe we're listening to different things. I don't know. Maybe we're watching different things. But that's the vibe I get. The vibe I get is not that the, you know, and you even said it a little bit yourself at the beginning of this show of, oh, well, they came out flat. No, they didn't come out flat. That's how they come out. And everybody else, anybody else out there would have, that would have been a Nicholson interception. That would have been a touchdown. The Redskins defense is that good, is what I'm saying. It's not that they came out flat. We're just that good. Anybody else, Marshawn Lynch, and I know I'm with you, they played some shitty teams. Tennessee's not that great. You know, Jets are shout out to my boy Johnny Danks in New York. I love you, man, but and I'm sorry because we used to commiserate together about Redskins suck, Jets sucks, and we could just hold each other and cry. I can't cry with you anymore because we're good. and the Jets are still horrible. But you know, legitimately, we are that good. I have no doubt at the end of this year, the Raiders are going to be in the playoffs. The Raiders are at least going to finish minimum, at the bare minimum, a wild card spot. So anybody wants to say a team that makes the playoffs or finishes a wild card spot is not that good, and that this wasn't just we showed up and beat their ass, guess what? Fuck you. Continue, Mika.
I think to that point, I think there's really two things you could point to that people are just overlooking, that the ones that are saying what you're hearing. And yeah, you're hearing that too. I'm not saying I'm not hearing that. I'm just hearing that from people who, like I said, obviously aren't watching the tape. They're just
people you don't trust. People you don't value their opinion. Okay.
Exactly.
You know what? Can I tell you a fun thing? I'm sorry to interrupt you here, but I'm going to tell you a fun thing. Sure. Do you ever listen to the Cooley or watch the Cooley film breakdown? Because I do.
Yeah, I mean, I'll kind of like, I'll get a reaction from some people, and then I'll go, okay, I'll check it out. Because, you know, sometimes it gets down, and it gets hard to watch.
Well, that's fine. You know what the sickest thing I heard this week was? Is the way the Redskins D, and I know we're just gushing on the D again, I'm going to be out for 15 weeks based on this. But the way the Redskins D played, there was a moment, because, you know, he likes to watch the film, and he'll break it down, and he'll be like, okay, look, they're in Tampa 2 or they're in this. And he was like, I don't even know what formation they're in. I don't even know what they're doing. There was a couple of different plays that he was just like, dude, Carr was confused. He didn't know what the defense was presenting. And it was so on point that he didn't know what they're presenting that he just fucked up. Like that, it was like a bubble screen that we blew up. And he was just like, yeah, he checked it down to him because he saw what they were presenting, and he was unsure. You could see it on his face. He was unsure what the Redskins were presenting and just had to – he was like, I don't know, bubble screen, that seems safe. And then, boom.
You know, what's funny is you say that. I know exactly which plays you're talking about. And this is probably a testament to Cooley being more of an offensive guy, you know, being a tight end. You know, and I played both ways, obviously, but – I didn't get into.
I've heard that about you.
Wow.
Hey, I told you when I'm on the podcast, I think about perverse jokes to make. So I had to get one in. If you know what I'm saying.
So, you know, I played both ways, but you know, defense was my specialty. I played middle linebacker, and I had to know what was going on. I knew the play calls and so forth, and just where I'm going with that, and I didn't get to the college level, and so I'm not quite on par. But the terminology in a lot of ways was the same. I don't know if they still call it this or if they call it this in the NFL. But what you're referring to a couple times, we called it a radar defense. I don't know if that's a technical term, but you'll see it. The Pittsburgh Steelers run it sometimes, and the Green Bay Packers will run it from time to time, depending on the team you're playing, and. The Steelers actually ran it against us last year. And you'll see guys that they go from touchdown to checkdown in the offense. You run that because you're saying you're not going to beat us over the top, and you're not going to beat us in the intermediate route. So we're going to make you catch everything from 5 to 10 yards, and we're going to hit your ass. And that's what we're going to do all night. And it's not really like a defense. They started with some cover two, some Tampa two. They had some rolled coverages, some cover three stuff. But as Josh Norman said, cover four, cover three, you know, I'll cover you any which way. But, you know, and it's really a cover four. But instead of putting your safeties back and you have your guys, you just have everyone kind of hit at 12 yards and that's where they're all sitting. So it looks funny. You're just like, I don't know what's going on here. Like what defense is this? But, and yeah, it's just not right. Think of it like the pistol, you know, when it came in, like we're not used to this at this right. level, right. you know? So, but when you got out, you can run that stuff. So,
yeah, no, and it's working for him, so I'm not gonna complain. Real quick, taking a commercial break here. Tonight's Come Hail Away podcast is brought to you by Mika Haney. Mika Haney, when you're traveling to a random Redskin city and you want someone who plays it both ways, Mika Haney's there for you. Find him on Patreon.com. Mika Haney. He does accept tips. Okay, and moving on. The last thing I'm gonna say, and then we're gonna move on to the KC game is, God, how much do you love Josh Norman after the game? Just, I love his thoughtful, you know, he has this way of talking where he's just like, what do you mean? What do you mean Amari Cooper and Crabtree were trying to get balls? Because they ain't going to do that on me. What did they catch? Combined one catch? Yeah, they ain't nothing. Don't be talking shit before the game starts. I love Josh Norman. Just real quick, what are your thoughts on that?
I wanted to see him do that. He should have had a luchador's mask and like a championship belt and just like with a cigar, you know, and Bobby the Brain Heenan right next to him.
Mm-hmm. Like, exactly.
It's just, I heard it said multiple times. It was like Monday Night Raw. It's exactly what it was. It was like an episode of Monday Night Raw. He was totally in heel mode at that point. It was pretty. I love watching that stuff. I love it. And I love Swearinger too. I love.
Oh yeah. You know what? Yeah. Swearinger shamed me this week. So did you see his hat?
No.
Did you? Oh, you didn't see Swearinger's hat?
No.
He has big, ridiculous Redskins hat.
Yeah, I love that hat, by the way.
Right. And you know where he got it? He got it in Cabo San Lucas. So my wife and I, on our one-year anniversary, we wanted to get married in Cabo San Lucas, but our whole family was like, we're not traveling to a foreign country for your wedding, F you. So we got married in Santa Barbara. And so we were like, you know what? That spot that we wanted to do the wedding at, that's where we're going to go for our one-year anniversary. And we went down there, and I've seen these hats down there. And only because, and by the way, tip to everybody out there, if you've never been to Cabo San Lucas, dude, people beg. There is just people selling you and coming up to you every 5 seconds to the point where it's exhausting. Where every 5 feet, someone's like, do you want to buy this? Do you want to buy this? Do you want to buy this? And so I was just like, you know what? I'm sick of it. I'm not buying anything because I'm just annoyed now. But I've seen that exact same hat in Cabo San Lucas. I know exactly what that hat is. When I saw him wear it, I was like, oh my God, that's a Cabo hat. And yeah, that's a Cabo hat. And I was like, damn, now I feel like I had an opportunity to buy one and I didn't do it. And I messed up. Because Swearinger's wearing it. I could be wearing one. I could be pimped like that.
You could have been the trendsetter.
Right. Well, if not, I could have just followed his trend and I'd be fine with that. I'll follow Swearinger where he wants to go. You know, he wants to start wearing Redskins overalls. I'll be wearing them too with that hat. It'll be awesome.
He needs to get a buckle for that to go with that. It just looks amazing.
You know what? Hey, everybody who's listening to this podcast, if you want to chip in for the Redskins belt buckle / I don't know how you attach those to hats because I'm not a cowboy. But let's donate, and then we'll see if we can contact Swearinger and get to him. We're friend of the podcast. J.P. Finley knows him. Maybe we can make some connections, make some stuff happen. So But let's look ahead to the week coming up. According to everything I've heard, we are going to be absolutely destroyed by KC because they are apparently Jesus or something. I don't really know. They're the best team that ever lived. Thoughts?
Well, the good stuff. Okay, so KC can run the ball. I think we've heard that.
Right.
And we heard that about the Raiders. Slight differences here. I'm going to try and touch on these quickly. But their offensive line operates more on deception, quickness, and play calling. So they're not going to try to move you out the way like the Raiders' offensive line was. So I think that actually plays oddly more into our favor. So, you know, they've been able to run the ball against some pretty good, stout defensive lines. But, you know, again, they haven't faced anything this sounds weird to say come out of my mouth, but they just haven't faced anything like ours. And I hope that they're just able to keep that intensity up, because I really think that's going to be the difference. You know, if you get penetration on that defensive, that offensive line, you're going to stop their runs before they get going, and Kareem Hunt won't be a factor. That said, he's been such a factor to this point. It's really, you might as well just get that thought out of your head and assume that he's going to have some success on the day. And really try to focus on the other parts. And that's what I would be trying to do if I was Minuski. I hope that that's what, you know, I'm pretty sure that's what we're going to see. I think really what you want to do is you want to limit big plays from Tyreek Hill. You want to look out for the screens, bubble screens, jet sweeps, all that trickery they try to do, those gadget plays. You just really want to stay honest, stay in your fits, get up the field, and just hit people, make tackle, wrap up. Kareem Hunt likes a lot of tackles. And then also they got Travis Kelce. So if this were a traditional offense, I'd be more worried about Travis Kelce. But what they do with him is they basically do what we do with Jordan Reed, but except for the middle stuff, because Jordan Reed's really good at route running. So, and Travis Kelce, it is, but not to that extent. I think Travis Kelce's more of a, you know, seams guy or bubble screen guy, get him out in the space, try and make him get onto mismatches and such. But Andy Reid is a really good coach, you know, so he'll find ways to get his team going. I don't expect the same kind of dominant. Now, I think that there's a possibility that we can go out there and dominate again. But this is one of those things where now the Chiefs are ready for us. I don't think we're surprising anybody this week. I also think that our offense is going to be in a better place. So the trade-off here is, now, do we wind up getting that shootout we didn't get last week? I don't know. I lean towards a, just to give my prediction at this point, I'm leaning towards a 27-24 victory for the Redskins. I've still been nice in that range all season. You know, I hemmed and hawed a bit about saying, you know, am I going to think more realistically and think that, you know, we might lose this game like some of the other Redskins pundits who are kind of afraid to go on that limb there. You know what? I watched tape over and over again, and I can't see us losing to this team. So, you know, again, they're a good team. They're a really good team. And in fact, I've been telling all my friends, I think they're the best team in the NFL right now.
Wow.
We'll see if that changes after this week.
Well, I would say this. First of all, if you got to buy a broken screen door, go to Fabian Moreau's Broken Screen Doors. He replaces all of them after he breaks them. So right there, don't try to run a screen on us. We've seen it. We blow it up. We destroy screens. So that's just not going to happen. I fear not the screen anymore in my life. Screen passes do not exist. And I'll just say, I know I sound like a giant homer here when I say this, and maybe Redskins Nation out there is feeling me when I say this, but there is no part of our defense I feel weak about. You know what I mean? There is right. Not a middle linebacker. No, I feel great about that. Outside linebacker, I feel great about. Defensive line, I feel great about that. The depth chart on the corners, I feel great about. Safety, I don't give a – you know what? You put me or you out there with DJ Swearinger, I guarantee DJ will line us up to be in the right spot at the right time at the right moment. They even – my athletic ass will somehow make a play. You know what I mean? So That being said, there is no part I feel weak about the defense for once in my life. You know, it's amazing. I can feel relaxed and go, God, I kind of feel good about every part of it, whether or not they run or pass or screen or whatever they try to pull. I mean, I know, and I give all credit, so don't let me be the person out here who's like, well, Kansas City's not that good. Kansas City's great. So was Oakland. I think the defense is going to give them a really hard time. Where I give Kansas City some credit is they're a little better on defense than the Raiders were, and that's where I'm a little concerned. But I'll be honest, it is the week for somebody to step up on offense. That's why I think it's going to be amazing. I think Kirk held it down pretty good with lack of support from the wide receivers, but I think this is the week where we see somebody, whether it's Doxson on more than one, just one pass and a touchdown, or it's Terrell Pryor stepping up, one of those two guys is going to step up and become a force to be reckoned with. But I'll say this. It's so funny because it's outside in, inside out at the same time. It is, we literally drafted well to get new people. We had a couple of guys that we drafted, like Ryan Kerrigan. But then at the same time, we brought in people like Jano, like Swearinger, like Zach Brown, who are then teaching the new kids that we drafted well how to play amazing. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. It just rubs off. I mean, look at Kendall Fuller. Right. I mean, Kendall Fuller is like a testament to that. That guy is night and day from last year, and it's amazing. Right. It's just fun to watch him flying all over the place. And he just has a swagger to him that I don't think he was even there last year. By the way,
I need to correct myself. I meant Kendall Fuller's Screen Emporium earlier in the podcast. I mentioned Screen Emporium. It's Kendall Fuller's, not Fabian Moreau. Sorry, you guys who were both hurt, who are both doing amazing. I get them confused. My bad.
Yeah, Moreau's the special team specialist right now, that guy.
Right. He's like, the gunner that's killing people who's going to blow up special teams. Right. I'd like to see him. I'd actually like to see him return punts and kicks, but that's a whole different subject.
Especially since Crowder's got two on him this year. I'm a little perturbed with that. Right. But, you know, Crowder is Crowder. I think he gets one more chance and then they yank him. But
three strikes, you're out.
Yeah, because I mean, it's Crowder. It's like,
right,
he should be able to fix this. But yeah.
also, honestly, at this point in the game, because back to what you were kind of saying, and we're going to need to wrap this all up soon, but just kind of back to what you're saying is that with the emergence, the rise, the presence of Chris Thompson being such a dangerous, wicked threat, you know, let me go New England on you, wicked threat, and combo that with Crowder and Jordan Reed. You know, we've lost DJ. We lost Gerson. That's why I'm thinking, like, if we had those two on top of these other three, and the right. D, I wouldn't be able to podcast for the rest of the year. I'd just be in a state of ecstasy all year long. But that's besides the point. Why I think, you know, Doxson or Pryor are going to have a big game, because you got to cover those three, and therefore Pryor or Doxson are going to get open. But back to Crowder. Crowder's too important right now. Honestly, look, Baby Monroe, Kendall Fuller, one of those guys is emerging, and let them do special teams. Crowder needs to kind of take a break and just focus on being a wide receiver. He's too important right now. You got other people. And honestly, I'll say the same thing about Chris Thompson. Take him out of field goal, not field goal, but kickoff returns. He's too important. Take him out of it. It was one thing when he was just third down back and that was it. Now he's just every down all the time when we need 20 yards. Take him out. Don't put him in harm's way.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'd like to see less Thompson where he's not needed. And I want to see, give him another chance. Hopefully he doesn't make another boneheaded mistake like he's made two this year. But because look, the thing of it is we put guys back there to return punts, and I haven't seen anyone be nearly as successful at it like Jameson Crowder in a while. So
I hear you.
We even had Anton Wendell at one point. you know, a couple guys who were actually known for that kind of thing, and they were still kind of whatever, maybe broke one or two, but, you know, and some of that, Bill, again, is your...
Bill is so bitter about Jackson during that Dallas game, but we're not going to get into that.
Yeah. But, and a lot of that, again, is blocking and just not having the players, right? You know, special teams is all about the third, fourth string, you know, on the depth chart, being able to go out there and produce, you know, in the given opportunities. But, you know, yeah, I mean, unless someone's emerging in practice, again, I'm okay with Crowder staying out there. And he does enough to not get killed either. That's the other thing. So he's not out there taking unnecessary hits on punt returns. So, you know, I'm okay with that as long as he stops with the boneheaded mistakes.
I would just like to see Crowder more as a second wide receiver. I know he's the scat back, or I'm sorry, the slot receiver, but I would like to see him more out there. I mean, I know, and I can't get over it. I get it. It's a mental block about Ryan Grant, and he's doing okay this year. But I'd rather see Pryor and Crowder, Doxson and Crowder, than, you know, one of those guys in Ryan Grant. And so because I feel his value is going up is where I kind of feel, all right, get yourself out of special teams. And for once, and only Redskins fans will get this. Only they will feel this when I say, I'm not worried about special teams. Is that weird? Is that weird?
Yeah, it's
for once. It feels a little weird. Feels a little weird.
Well, I am still like turning my head every time Dustin Hopkins tries to kick a field goal, though.
Who was the special teams coach that was like, who was former military, who was like, these are my special elite commandos?
Ben Kutwicka.
Yeah. Is he still coaching special teams?
I think he is. I think he's still there.
All right. Well, he finally made special.
Actually, you know what? I think he might have gone with Kyle. I'm not sure. We'd have to look that up. Chief will have to look that up for us.
Chief's not here to correct us, so we're just going to spout off random things, and it's okay. And feel free to write us in to correct us. So let's go into this KC game real quick and just wrap this whole thing up. We're obviously, no one's giving us any credit. Nobody's giving us a due. Thanks for being a Redskins fan. That's what happens. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? What you said it already, 27-24?
Yeah, that's my realistic, I say realistic, actually. That's my Redskins fan trying to not get too up. I feel 27-24 is around about. I feel like more points will be scored by both teams in this game. But, ultimately, and even I say 27-24, I don't really think it's going to be like a down-to-the-wire type game either. That last 24 will probably be, 27-17. They get a garbage touchdown, which is kind of what I felt last week. I think I said 34-27, and I thought it was going to be 34-20 with a garbage touchdown. So it's kind of where I'm at.
Damn you, Mika, you actually just predicted my next question, which was, how is the game going to play out? Is it going to be back forth? Is it going to be we're up or we're coming back? And so what you're predicting is we're going to be dominant all game long, and then they're going to get some garbage time points. Is that basically what you're saying?
I think we'll see kind of our typical pattern, which is jump on them early, let them get in the game, and then put the kibosh at the end.
Okay, we're going to Nostradamus this. I want you to break it down to me per quarter. End of first quarter, what's the score?
End of first quarter?
Call your mother got in. I don't hear any other podcast or anybody else do this. I want you, Mika Haney, genius of geniuses, predict me quarter by quarter what the score is. First quarter, what's the score?
First quarter, 10-0.
All right. Second quarter, end of the half?
Second quarter, I think 17-10.
Okay. Third quarter?
Quarter, I think we're going to go 20-17.
Ooh, they get close in the third quarter.
And then fourth quarter, 7-24.
All right. I like where your head's at. I like that we're ahead the whole time. There's no point that we're not leading. And because we've been sweating the defense's balls all day. Give me a couple of predictions here. defense, how many sacks are there in this game? Everybody's talking about Alex Smith, who Matt's wife is totally in love with, who if he called her tomorrow, Matt's life would leave him and go with Alex Smith, you know, or Ryan Kerrigan, either one. She'll leave me for either one. It's a hair's breadth away, which I wouldn't blame them if they called her. She's amazing. But my wife, who wants to leave me for Alex Smith, how many sacks do we have on the quarterback this game?
Well, so unlike last week, I don't...
Everybody says he's mobile. I don't see it.
Well, he is mobile. And
it's bad breakdown. It's not mobile. There's a difference.
No, he's mobile. He ran a pretty good clip on his 40, but he's getting older, so there's that. And I feel like...
38-year-old, I'll testify, I'm not as fast.
He protects the football. So I don't think there's nearly as many... Well, there was only, three last week. Or was it four? I just don't think turnovers are in the cards. There might be one or two randomly, maybe a peanut punch out by Norman at some point. I think it's going to be more of a, you know, our defense getting them out on three and outs and such. But because of that, though, to your question, I feel like there's more sacks there to be had. And I feel like we're going to get about six or seven.
Six or seven sacks?
Yeah, I think it's going to be something where people are going, what the what? So their defense pressure is real. I think some of it's going to be.
All right. Hold on. You said six or seven sacks. We haven't had six or seven sacks in a single game yet. So now I'm going to have to ask you, divide that number up. Give me numbers on who. Who gets? Combine me the. How do we put together six or seven sacks?
I got Preston Smith with two, Jonathan Allen with one and a half. I got.
All right.
I got Gallet with one. I got Kerrigan with two. And I think that's about where, because there'll be half sacks in there probably.
So you're going six and a half, basically. Yeah, I'm going to make my prediction, my bold Noster Lonnie. I like how Lonnie has now become the Nostradamus of the podcast. My Noster Lonnie prediction, not only will Junior Gallet have a sack, but it will be a sack fumble for Redskins recovery. Calling it now. And it's gonna be the oh shit, Junior Gallet's for real. You know, kind of moment of the game. How many interceptions?
I got none for this game.
Zero. How many blown up screen passes? Because we know Alex Smith has checked down Sally.
Three or four. Time out real quick.
Okay.
Hold on. I'll be right with you. Hold on a second. All right.
All right.
See you later. Beautiful baby. See you guys soon. All right. We're good? Everything okay?
Yeah, everything's fine. I'll have we're an hour 30 in. I'll have Matt edit that part out. That's the other part he's gonna edit. All right. Back to it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that being said, I'm kind of with you, but I'm going to go with a little bit of a high scoring game. I'm going to go with 35 Redskins, and it's okay. No, 32 for Kansas City. And I honestly think we come back and win this thing in the last 2 minutes. Kirk Cousins makes a drive in the last 2 minutes to score a touchdown. That's going to put us again ahead, and that's how it's going to play out.
All right, well, I'd love for that to happen. Certainly, he'd be earning his paycheck at that point, right?
Right. It's going to silence the critics. Everyone's going to be like, oh, shit, you know, Kirk Cousins is for real. Everything from the last two seasons when he's broken records and killed it, you know, he's on point. So that's my prediction.
Well, you got it. So we were predicting the Redskins win all around. It sounds
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'm predicting a Redskins win. And it's just going to be a two-minute drill comeback to put us ahead at 35. They're going to be up on us, 28? It's going to be 32? 32 to 28. And then we're going to come back in the last 2 minutes, score a touchdown, win the game. I really love this.
Hey, well, I like it. As long as you come out with the
Hey, yeah. Not nice.
You bring me back some barbecue. And until we talk again after the game, and I can't wait, because obviously we're going to be celebrating another victory. And all I got to say is catch us on Snapchat. I don't know if Lonnie's doing that, but Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, we're active on those. Shout out to all our boys. Shout out to Mark. Shout out to Danger. Shout out. I refuse to call him Alex. I just call him Danger.
Shout out to Bang Radio Hour. Everyone check that out. Another podcast, Bang Radio Hour.
Shout out to Jeff, Chef Drew. I know I'm forgetting a lot of people I need to shout out right now. But if you want to talk to us, you know what? Here's what we really need, guys. If you're listening out there, we need people to review us on iTunes. Please, please, please review us on iTunes, Spotify. I like Pocket Cast. That's where I listen to my podcast. You know, wherever you listen to podcasts, if there's ability to rate us, please rate us. But I'm just going to say, hail to the Redskins and nobody else. And we're out.